Have your Bibles tonight, book of Revelation. Looks like the future of our church is in good care with all the musicians. Great blessing. Thankful the young people are using their talents for the Lord's sake. Draw your attention tonight, Revelation chapter 8. That's where we're going to begin tonight. But I want to go back because there's so much discrepancy about the book of Revelation, and I want it to be simple for you, and I want it to be clear for you. And if you were to turn, keep your finger in Revelation 8, and I just want to do a quick review in Revelation chapter 4, verses number 1 through 3 is when the rapture takes place. Notice verse 1 of chapter 4. And now John is in heaven, and when he's in heaven, he begins to notice things happening. Notice in verse 1, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. So he's on the Isle of Patmos, and he looked up, and there's a door opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was of a trumpet. Now keep your finger there, and turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, I want you to notice the parallel passage that speaks of the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Now there's our word, caught up, rapture, up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It is obvious he does not come back to this earth and put his feet on the earth. That happens at the end of the 7 years of tribulation period. This rapture event of chapter 4 and 1 Thessalonians 4 is the mark of the beginning of the tribulation period. All the Christians are removed. We're gone to heaven. You'll notice in Revelation now, chapter 4, you hear it again. A door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, the one that sat on the throne. So you see Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. And then you'll notice in chapter 5 that this throne is the one sitting on the throne has a book in his hand and said, who would like to open the book? And this scroll has got 7 seals on it. It's the title deed to the earth. Now, one of the reasons we can't close yet at Concora on our new property is they don't have a deed for us to buy yet. So as big time developers have lots of land, they wait till they sell a piece of land and they carve it out. And then they sell that piece of land and you get a deed on it. You can get a meets and bounds, which is sort of a description of what it looks like, or you can get a deed. It's an actual sheet of paper that shows where your property is and has the stake, the corner stakes on it. That can be fixed, and they are fixed according to numbers that can be satellite viewed and put in place. And so the surveyors put the stakes in exactly the right spot according to the plat. You can buy that deed, a piece of land by deed. And so he has the deed to the earth in the palm of his hand. And he said, who can open it? Well, no one could, except then all of a sudden you'll notice in chapter 5 a lamb appears. It looks like it's a picture of a lamb that was slain, a bloodied lamb, and it's the picture of the Son of God. And he comes and takes the book. John cries because there's no one worthy to take the title deed to the earth. And Jesus takes the title deed to the earth and begins to undo the seals. Now, you'll notice, if you would, in chapter 6. Now, flip over to chapter 6. As he begins to undo the seals, each seal brings a judgment onto the earth. You'll notice chapter 6, you've got seal 1. In verse 1, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. And then it says in verse 2, and a white horse. And he went forth into conquering. You'll notice here, this is a symbol of peace and conquering that this horse is going through, and it's sort of like the Antichrist that sets up and he makes a contract with the children of Israel and to make for world peace. But you'll notice in number three, and when he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come, and there was another horse that was red. And power is given him to set thereon to take peace from the earth. Now peace is gone. Now understand, from the first seal, from the rapture being taken, 7 years until the Lord comes back onto this earth and sets up his millennial reign. So during those 7 years, there are seven seals that are unloosed. Each one brings a horrific judgment to this earth. And then after that, the seventh seal, between the sixth and seventh seal. Now notice in chapter 6 of Revelation, the sixth seal is in verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. And lo, there was a great earthquake and all kinds of things happened. Verse 4, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together. It appears that these seals are toward the end of the 7 years of tribulation. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse 15, and it says, verse 14, the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. It sort of seems like the earth goes through a cataclysmic happening where the islands are moved. It's like an earthquake of untold proportions, and it causes tsunamis and all kinds of devastation. You'll notice verse 15, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, it covers every man all the way through, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. So this appears at the very end of the judgment of the 7 years, it looks like. Because the earth is going through these cataclysmic changes, the stars, and you're going to see some more events that happen. You've got the seven seals. Now, the seventh seal opens up the seven trumpets. And then there are trumpets again. We're going to see that in chapter 8. But there's a parenthetical clause between the sixth seal and the seventh seal. And in that clause, the Lord tells us that he's going to seal 144,000 flaming evangelists, all Jews, 12 from each tribe. And you'll also notice that people start getting saved. But I do believe these 12,000 Jews, Jewish evangelists that believe in the Messiah, the Christ, are going to be sealed before they start preaching. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 8, and of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000, and of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man can number. So it appears that all of these evangelists are sealed very quickly at the beginning of the 7 year tribulation, and they go around the world preaching, but they cannot be killed. They cannot die. They're sealed. They're protected. So it's 144,000 that go all around the world preaching the gospel, that are missionaries sent out from the mission board in heaven, that God himself says, you're mine. He puts a hedge about them, and they preach, and millions and millions and millions are saved. But I do believe the people that are saved are only people that never heard the gospel before the rapture. I don't know. There's no scriptural proof. But I don't believe that God lets people that have heard the gospel, and then the rapture takes place. I believe it looks like they're hardened in their hearts. And they just don't believe it anymore. And then these evangelists start to preach. And people, because of all that's going on, begin to believe him. Now keep in mind, most of the world believes the lie of the Antichrist. And so there's horrific things going on, and the Antichrist is blaming God for it. Now there's peace in Israel for the first 3.5 years. But at the 3.5 year mark, then he breaks his contract with Israel and he goes after Israel. And he offers pigs and things on the altar in Jerusalem and desecrates it. Puts himself up and said, I'm the one that you should worship. And so now the world is starting to worship the Antichrist and the priest and the false prophet. And the whole world is in total confusion. You can see all the people are hiding themselves because of all the mass destruction that's happening on the earth. Now, then you'll notice chapter 8, and you'll see this. Chapter 8, verse 1 is where we begin tonight. And we're going to go through very quickly this chapter because no one wants to dwell on it. You'll notice in verse number 1, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Now there's silence in heaven, not on earth. So the seventh seal is opened, and now Christ has the title deed, and then all of a sudden everything begins to break loose. Now when I say break loose, I believe it's a third or fourth seal. 200 billion people, 25% of the world dies. Accumulation of the Great Tribulation. So it's not like things just start now. They're all kind of put together. So you'll notice, if you would, in verse number two, this silence in heaven is such a silence that it's like heaven is wondering what's next. It's a deafening silence. In verse 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. Now, trumpets, always in the Old Testament, summoned either worship or war. They'd blow the trumpet, that meant impending danger, get ready for war. They'd blow the trumpets for the feast of the tabernacles, for the Passover, and everybody would come and worship. So these trumpets always announce things. In this case, they announce destruction from the judgment of God. You'll notice, if you would, in verse 3, another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. So there's an altar before the throne of God. And there are all kinds of prayers. Now notice in Revelation 6, 9, you'll see where the prayers come from. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So there are going to be Christians slain by the millions. And that's what Revelation 7 speaks about. From verse 9 on through 17, it says, verse 9 of chapter 7, after this I beheld a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne. So they've all died and gone to heaven. And you'll notice, if you would now back over in chapter 6, verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and truly, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So these people that are martyred during the tribulation period, Christians, from chapter 7 have been praying from chapter 6, and God has taken every prayer. And this angel offers them up to the Lord with incense. Notice, if you would, verse 4 of chapter 8. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. So it's like the Lord allowed the angel to collect all the prayers of God's people as they were martyred. And notice, if you would, verse number 5, and the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So it looks like the seventh seal is opened up and there's silence. Nothing is said, really, But they watch this angel. And he comes over and opens up the prayers of God's people. And the censer of the incense goes up to God. And God says, okay, I'm going to pay the world back for the blood of these people. And notice verse 7. And the first angel sounded, the first trumpet. And there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burned up and all green grass was burned up. Can you imagine when this trumpet blows what the earth is going to look like when a third of all the trees are destroyed and all green grass on the earth is gone? Burned up. Wow. The earth is going to look like a war zone. In verse 8, and then the second angel sounded, and as it were, now keep in mind those words, as it were. John sees it looks like a mountain coming from the skies. As it were a great mountain burning with fire. It sounds like a meteorite or a star that's come a long ways off and just burnt almost up, but it still looks like a huge mountain. And was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures were in the sea and had life died. And third part of the ships were destroyed. Now, it doesn't say how, but if you can imagine a mountain hitting into the ocean and the tsunamis that would go out from there and all the ships as they would be uprooted and thrown on their sides and destroyed, a third of the ships of the world are destroyed. A third of all aquatic life is destroyed. Can you imagine? The price of everything goes through the roof. Shrimp, lobster, tilapia, haddock, bass, everything you can think of just goes through the roof. Because a third of it's gone. The market's cut by one third. The ocean's turned to blood. Notice if you would. And then another trumpet sounds. Can you imagine if you're on the earth? Stop the trumpets! I don't know if they can hear them or if they're only heard in heaven. The Bible doesn't clearly say we know they're heard in heaven. But it's like one thing after another thing after another thing. It's like God is angry for what they did to his children when he heard their prayers. Notice verse 10. And the third angel sounded. And there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. The name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter, they were made poisonous. So now a third of the world's water supply is ruined. And then verse 12, and the fourth angel sounded. And the third part of the sun, now this one is one that I think affects everyone. I know the others affect everyone, but this one is devastating. Notice, the fourth angel sounded and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Now, everything now is topsy-turvy. You've always been able to count on the sun coming up where? The east, setting in the west. It's always come up with a certain time. We have calendars that have the exact time when the sun rises, when the sun sets. You can pull up your phone and see when the sun's going to set tonight, to the minute. Now, all the algorithms are ruined. Nothing works. They don't know what's happening. It's daylight when it's supposed to be dark, and it's dark when it's supposed to be daylight. People can't sleep. There's terror in their hearts. They don't have enough drinking water. The food supply has been cut. And the old devil, in the form of the Antichrist, is causing war, and Israel is being surrounded, getting ready for mass destruction, and everything is just topsy-turvy in the world. We've only had four trumpets. And then notice what he says. He said, you think that's bad. Now watch. Verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. You've seen nothing yet. Now, I want you to understand tonight that if you wake up in the morning and it's thundering and lightning, and one year all the green grass is burned up and the trees are burned up, and New York City's been obliterated, all the island, all the ocean seaports are ruined because a great meteorite hit the earth and the tsunamis just wiped things out on all the coasts. Can you imagine what's happening? And then all the third of the ships are gone. The seas turned to blood. You're looking up and now it's not day. What's the calendar like? What day is it? Because it's not day and night. It's day for two thirds and then night for a third and two thirds day. And your whole system of living is ruined. And then Antichrist says, okay, everybody needs a number in order to go to Wegmans and get anything. Wegmans shelves, many of them are empty. But unless you have the number, you can't check out. How many of you use your debit card at Wegmans or Giant or Harris Teeter? Let me see your hand. Use a debit card. How many of you use a credit card? How many of you use cash? How many of you don't buy food? Let me see your hand. Okay? So you go, and if you use a debit card, you have to put your four-digit number in it. Well, it's going to be just like that, except the number's going to be in your forehead. They're just going to scan your forehead or scan your wrist. Okay, you can go. But if you don't accept the number, you don't buy. You can't buy a car. Can't buy a house. Can't buy clothes. Can't buy food. What do you do? That's the reason millions of Christians are going to die. They're going to starve to death. They're going to be tormented. They're going to be mocked and made fun of. Because the world is going to believe the Antichrist. He's going to blame God for all that's happening on the earth. The world's going to believe it. But keep in mind, the Lord is he's doing two things. He's going to pay the world back for the way they treated all of his children. During the Dark Ages, they were dark because Christians were murdered by the millions of the church at Rome. He's paying them back for that. He's paying them back for China and all the pastors that are in prison today that just disappeared around the world. There are Christians in this world today that are being tortured beyond words. And then the Lord says, okay, I'm going to open up hell and let hell onto this earth. That's the first woe. Chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded. Now to me, this one is the worst of all of them. Maybe it's just me, but it's just terrifying to me, this fifth trumpet. But it is, notice if you would in verse 12, one woe is past, and behold, there come two more woes hereafter. Each one is like when you see something absolutely astounding, you go, wow. If you see a horrific car accident, I remember we were driving in Mesquite, Texas, and there was a Jeep, and there were two teenage girls that were hanging on to the, they were sitting on the seat back of the Jeep and had their arms over the roll bar, and they drive through, and apparently they ran a red light. Somebody hit them, and then I saw the girl, one of the girls, just flip out of it backwards and then right on the concrete. And I went, wow. It was something I'd never seen before. It was shocking. Well, in chapter 9, verse 1, he says, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key. And we assume this star was a flaming angel. Fall to the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. So he actually has the key. Did you know that hell has a key to it? It does. Take your Bible and turn to Revelation 20. Verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. That's why the millennial reign is so wonderful. Satan has no influence on it. So there is a key to hell. And God has it. And he gave it to this angel in Revelation 9. And the angel comes down and unlocks the place called hell, the bottomless pit. Now, the bottomless pit, I don't know if you ever thought about it or not. But the bottomless pit is obviously has no bottom to it. But the Bible says it is a place of fire and brimstone. So it's a place of great torture. And you know what brimstone, it is rock heated so hot it glows red. And yet you have the sense of the heat, the torment of burning, but you can't burn up. And then the torment of always falling. How many have ever ridden a roller coaster and you've done this? And now maybe some of you like this. I don't. But you ride the roller coaster, you catch it, and it click, 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 click. And it goes up to the top, and then all of a sudden it goes around, and it drops. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay? People pay for that. They pay for their stomach to be in their throat. And they're going to have a good time at it. The last time I rode one of those, I still have the imprint marks of my wife's fingernails as we started down. And she screamed for 58 seconds without breathing. I don't know how she did it. That's the reason I still have a little hearing problem right now in my right ear. She was sitting right here. I just remember that. But I remember the feeling as it gets up in my stomach. Matter of fact, the teenager said, if you'll get on this ride, and there was a certain ride there that was really over the top, we'll give you, and they started out with $10. Of course, that meant nothing to my wife. When it got to $500, she said, no. I said, what? I said, I'll go up there and jump off for $500 if you'll give it to me. No way, I'm not riding that for no amount of money. She just didn't like that feeling of the stomach in your throat. Can you imagine being cast into hell and always having that nauseous, sick feeling and never putting your feet on anything firm? The bottomless pit. How horrible. Now remember, the Bible says in Matthew 25:41 that hell was not created for anybody on earth, but for the devil and his angels. So this angel opens up the pit. And notice what happens. Verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. That's because it is. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. If you remember that mountain in the west coast in Washington, when it blew up, it sent a flume into the heavens, and the dust came all the way across the United States. How many of you remember that as it just kind of drifted by? And there was ash all over the place out there where that was. Well, he says here, this smoke comes out of the pit and blots out the sun. And notice verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Now, lest you think these are normal locusts, read on with me. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Anybody ever been bitten by a scorpion? The sting is almost unbearable. Verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing. Now keep in mind, all the grass is burned up. But the only green thing left are trees, because a third of them are gone. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. So God puts a seal on these 144,000 and the people that are saved. The devil puts a seal on his millions with 666. So man, you're in a big spot, a difficult spot. You don't get the seal. You don't eat. You do get the seal. You get all the torments of hell. Notice if you would, verse 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented for 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And verse 7, this is the thing I think that sort of scares me the most. The shapes of the locusts were likened to horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. They had hair as the hair of women. Their teeth was the teeth of lions. They had breastplates as it were. Keep in mind, as it were. It's not they had breastplates of iron. It looked like it. Shiny. And the sound of their wings was it the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Can you imagine being outside your yard? You hear this. And you know they're coming. And locusts come in waves. What happens to a person that gets bit, stung 30 or 40 times, rushed into the hospital? They don't die from it, but they want to die. Verse 10, and they had tails likened to scorpions. And there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And this is the terror part. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Abaddon in Hebrew, the destroyer. Apollyon in the Greek text, the destroyer. It's none other than Satan himself. So can you imagine Satan himself leading a swarm of locusts out of the place called hell? These were his own demons built to take a man's will for living away. Verse 12, one woe is past. And behold, there come two more woes hereafter. At this point in time, everybody on the earth wants to die if they're not dead. Now, folks, this could happen in 2025, 24. If the rapture comes in 21, it could be all over by 28. Do you understand? We are close. Now, what is it we're to do? Take your Bible and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Keep in mind, there's two more woes left. Now follow with me. There are two more trumpets left. And out of the seventh trumpet, seven more bowls of judgment are poured out. So this is a little bit more than halfway of what the earth is going to endure. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Remember, one of the seals was that the earth began to roll up, the heavens began to roll up. They all coincide. Which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What do you think we ought to act like, knowing what's coming and knowing that there's people that very likely are going to live today through that 7-year period or going into it unless we lead them to Christ before the Lord comes back? Notice verse 12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with further heat. Nevertheless, now you notice, and this is the good part. This is why I want to always end on something good. Nevertheless, we, his children, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's the day after he comes back and sets things right. At the very end of the tribulation period, that 7th year, he sets up his millennial reign for 1,000 years. And we're going to rejoice with him. That's when he said, we still look for a new heavens and a new earth. Take your Bible and turn through it to Revelation 21. Now I want you to understand, these are different authors written many years apart. Verse 21, Revelation 21. You got John that's in heaven writing about what he saw. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. So there you see we're in heaven. And John says, I see a brand new heaven. Notice, if you would, now back over to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, he's speaking to us now, seeing that you look for such things, are we looking for the rapture, for the Lord to come get us? Are we looking knowing that we're going to heaven? We're not going to be a part of all this ruin. We're not going to be a part of it. The Lord said, according to his promise, I'm going to come get you and bring you to myself. And notice, if you would, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things. Remember, he said, as a friend, I'm going to share with you what I have in the future in John chapter 16. So he's sharing it with you and I so that we know what's coming, so that we can be prepared. Number one, we can be saved. And number two, notice in verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. He says, look, I want you to be prepared. I want you to be holy. I want you to have a light that shines and everybody can see it. And they'll ask you why you're so joyful, why you have such peace, why what the stock market does doesn't affect you. Why what's going on in the world doesn't affect you? It's because we've already won the victory. We're going to heaven. We know that our God has won the victory. And we're going to come back with him to this earth at the end of this 7 years. And he's going to rebuild it, purge it, and make it brand new, a new heaven, a new earth for us to enjoy for all eternity. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Don't believe the lie that Go to chapter 3, the same chapter. Go back over to verse number 4. Verse 3 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. There are going to be people who say, you Christians are crazy. Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep for 2,000 years, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For 6,000 years, 7,000 years, for all those years, everything's done the same and he hadn't come yet. What makes you think he's going to come? Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. It was God's word that's allowed the earth to stand for 6,000 years. But it's going to be by the same word he's going to come to get us, and he's going to take us out. And all the book of Revelation from chapter 4 to chapter 19 is going to pay the world back for all that's been done. Tonight, how should we live? Be diligent that you be found without spot, blameless, peace, peaceful, godly. What manner of persons ought you to be in all conversation and godliness? Holy. We ought to be a light to the world. Tonight, you and I know what's going to happen. We have the book of the days ahead. We know what's going to happen to this earth. We know the world's going to purify this world and remove all traces of wicked man and make it brand new for us. As good as the Garden of Eden, probably better. Tonight, we have so much to look forward to. But don't forget, you're here for a reason. What is it? Teenagers, to live right. Prepare for his coming. Adults, live right. Prepare your children for his coming. Workers, live right. Prepare your co-workers. Talk to them about the great God of heaven. We don't have to discuss that God's going to open up hell. We can discuss that God loves them and he wants to forgive them of their sin. Our new building is designed with all kinds of new abilities to reach people with the gospel. Ways we haven't been able to before. You know why? Time is short. He's coming as a thief in the night. And we're gone. Tonight, are you ready? He is coming. He's coming soon. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. Maybe you, the Lord's burdened someone in your heart about someone you know that's not saved. Come to this altar, spend a little bit of time and lift them up. Pray for them. Maybe the Holy Spirit's spoken to your heart. And there's something in your life and you want to make things right. Why don't you come and just say, Lord, I want to give that to you. I want to put you first. Lord Jesus, you see our hearts tonight. We know what you have planned. And we're so grateful you're bringing us home with you. And we can enjoy you for all eternity. Thank you for your thoughtfulness, for your kindness, for your mercy, for your love. Lord, help us in return to be diligent, to be found without blame and faultless, shining our light as bright as it can be because of the great God we serve. In your name we pray. Amen.